finds me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, it's time for Abandoned Manitoba this morning. Gordon Goldsborough is here. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now remind us of the clue from last week.
This is going to be another installment in our periodic series that I'm calling Remnants of Early Manitoba, in a sort of commemoration of Manitoba's 150th anniversary. And the idea is we're focusing on sites that date back to the time before Manitoba became a province in 1870. So the theme this week is pre-1870 churches in Manitoba. In other words, are there any churches remaining that Louis Riel and his contemporaries would recognize? The short answer, yes.
That's good news for us in this segment, otherwise it might be a little shorter. So where do we start?
Well, when we talk about churches, what we're referring to essentially are facilities that are created by organized religions. You know, so I suppose one way we could approach this topic is to consider what organized religions were predominant in Manitoba in 1870. Well, by and large, those were the ones that were associated with the fur trade. So you have the Scots, and they, by and large, were Presbyterians. You have the English, and they were primarily Anglicans, and you had Quebecers, which, of course, were probably mostly Roman Catholics. So those are the three predominant organized religions that would have been here. You know, you add the Selkirk settlers who began arriving in 1812, and so the religious services that they began to hold would initially have been held in buildings that were just whatever was available. You know, if particularly if you were transitory, if you were part of the fur trade, you'd be moving around. So you might be meeting in people's homes, you might be meeting in schools, that sort of thing. But when people began to settle down, so for example, when fur traders would retire, you know, they would want to have a place that they would stay. Even, you know, some of the fur trade posts that were more long lasting, that's when they would start building churches. And so the logical place for all of that would have been places like the Red River Settlement, of course, which became Winnipeg.
So are we looking mainly at Winnipeg then when it comes to these old churches?
Well, some, but by no means all of the oldest churches are in the region around Winnipeg. In fact, most of the oldest ones are actually right along the Red River, but actually not always right in Winnipeg itself.
What's the oldest church in Manitoba then?
Yeah, I wanted to know that answer as well. And it's a difficult question to answer because I don't have construction dates for all of the churches in the province. But of the ones I know about, I believe that the oldest one is St. Andrew's on the Red Anglican Church. It's a little bit south of Lockport, and its construction began in 1845. It actually took 4 years to build. It's a big, impressive stone building, so it took a while to put it all together. And, of course, it served the retired fur traders of the area, as well as the Métis farmers and hunters that resided in that area. Listeners may recall, too, that a few weeks ago, when we talked about other old buildings in Manitoba, one of the buildings we mentioned was the St. Andrew's Rectory. And one of the challenges there is that the rectory isn't really an old building, you know, because it's been so thoroughly, you know, replaced. Most of its stones have been removed around and so on. So I said that at that time, it really wasn't an old building. Well, you might say, well, then is the church itself that was attached to the rectory, is it an old building? Well, in fact, yes, it is. So although it has had some restoration done, it's been far less intrusive than was what was done with the rectory. You know, so for example, in the early 1930s, the southeast corner of the church required some repair because it basically partially collapsed. They did some patching of cracks that occurred in the 1980s. And then in the 1990s, they started doing some significant work at stabilizing its foundation and its tower. But, you know, by and large, what we see today is still the original church, and it's over 170 years old. You know, so that, I think, is definitely one of the oldest, if not the oldest.
So what comes after that in terms of the churches?
Okay, so if St. Andrew's on the Red is from the 1840s, let's move then to the next decade, the 1850s. And we have four churches, at least from that period. So in rough order of oldest to youngest, we start with St. Peter Dynevor Anglican Church. Another stone building, this one is on the east side of the Red River, north of Selkirk. It was constructed between 1853 and 1854. The interesting note about it is it was the home church for Chief Peguis, and in fact, he is buried in its cemetery. The next one would be the Kildonan Presbyterian Church. It's actually inside the boundary of Winnipeg. It's just off of Main Street in the north end of the city. It was built in 1854 as the first specific Presbyterian facility. Now you think, well, what did they do before that? Well, again, they met in temporary places like homes and so on, or in some cases they attended Anglican services. You know, the Anglicans, the Presbyterians would often get together. Well, this church, this Presbyterian church, is quite an intact. It's mostly unused today because it is awaiting some restoration. I had an opportunity to tour inside it last year, and it is a wonderful old church. They do, in fact, hold special services in it, but not used regularly.
How about another one?
Our third church from the 1850s is the Old St. James Anglican. Now, I say old because there actually is a St. James Anglican in the St. James part of Winnipeg, but it's a relatively modern church by comparison. So this was one on Portage Avenue right opposite Polo Park. You know, there's a nice old cemetery around it, and in fact, it has the distinction of being the oldest wooden church in the city. You know, whereas the Presbyterian church is stone, this one is wood, and it dates from, well, 1853 is when its cornerstone was laid. It was actually consecrated. It was actually turned into a functional church in 1855. And what's interesting about that church, too, it became a sort of a focal point for settlement along the Assiniboine River. Previously, you know, most people had been focused along the Red River, but now you started seeing people spreading west, and that was the reason that they now had a community church, and so people started to farm areas around there. And then finally, the last church from the 1850s is St. Anne's Anglican, a lot further from Winnipeg now. We have another fine old wooden church at Poplar Point, east of Portage la Prairie, and it was built in 1859.
So what about churches from the 1860s?
Right. So far, I've only found two. We have St. Clement's Anglican, sometimes also known as Mapleton, another beautiful stone church. It's midway between Lower Fort Garry and Selkirk. Its construction started in 1860 and was completed the following year. One of its notable features is that it features stained glass windows that were designed by artist Leo Moll. And then the other church is called the Christ Church Anglican. It's at Fort Alex, overlooking the Winnipeg River on the Sakine First Nation. What's interesting about it is that although you look at it, it has sort of lapboard siding on the outside, it's actually Red River frame construction. We've talked about that in this series quite often before, you know, where you have logs essentially that are notched on each end, and then you have a stack of logs. It's a Red River beam construction building, and it was built between 1868 and 1870.
Speaking of 1870, are there many churches from 1870s onwards?
Well, onwards, most definitely. If you stick to just the sort of the early part of the 1870s into the maybe the later part of the 1870s, I've just got two. There's the Little Britain Presbyterian Church. It's another stone church. It was built between 1872 and 1874. It's also along the Red River. Quite a lot of these churches, as you're probably noticing, are along the Red River. And it's believed to be the oldest united church. Because, of course, some listeners may know that the Presbyterians, the Methodists, and the Congregationalists back in 1925 got together to form the United Church. Not all the Presbyterians went along. That's why we have the Kildonan Presbyterian Church still with us. But this one, the Little Britain Church, is now known as Little Britain United Church. And then the other one is St. Luke's Anglican. Not another church by that name here in Winnipeg, but this one is actually in Emerson. And what's noteworthy about that is it was built in 1876. It's a wooden church. It's the first church from what we could call the European settlement period. You know, once the vast numbers of settlers began arriving in the 1870s, of course, they began building churches all over the province. This is the very earliest one from that period. So in other words, not a fur trade church, but now representing sort of that next wave of people arriving in Manitoba. Now, that church is no longer functional. It actually closed back in 2005, and the building itself is now managed by the local municipality, but it is still a magnificent old building.
Now, when we get to the period of the 1870s and with that wave of European settlement, I imagine, you know, many more churches. Is that the case?
Oh, yeah. So, of course, with all the scores of farmers and settlers that began arriving in the 1880s, you know, churches began to be built all over the province. And so if you're starting to talk about old churches, well, churches from the 1880s, 1890s are not especially rare anymore. You've got quite a few of them, in fact, in western Manitoba, in eastern Manitoba, in northern Manitoba. You know, so really, if you're talking old churches, you kind of stop in the 1870s, because after that, there's, you know, they're relatively common.
Great overview, Gordon. Thank you so much.
Right.
Clue for next week, please.
Well, you know, when a government wants to know the views of its citizens on a particular question, it holds a referendum. Well, next week we're going to discuss a now abandoned cultural practice that was the subject of no fewer than 3 referendums. And in fact, you know, I would argue that Manitobans still have conflicted views on this particular practice.
Oh, we're getting controversial on Abandoned Manitoba. I like
it. Maybe so.
Thanks, Gordon.
See you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.